Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. Thank you for tuning in. Glad you share your time with us. We appreciate that. Bob Griswold.
Hello.
And Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Right Wing Granny. And we have over there Diane Ruffino.
Hello.
And we have Rainer.
Hey,
and
Rick.
Hal James.
I'll be.
And that's our panel.
Right Wing Granny's not ready for the rocking chair, I understand yet.
No, no, she's not.
She's got it going on.
She's got it going on, that's right.
I tell you what, here in CCTA, we are blessed with a wealth of talent and knowledge, and we have Mary does the rightwinggranny.com blog. How many hits are you up to now a day?
Well, I spiked at the beginning of this month at 80,000 hits in one day.
Wow.
I don't know what happened.
So
I'm hoping to do it again sometime.
But 20 is about average for you, isn't it?
20, between 10 and 20 is average, but I hadn't seen 80. But if I may do a shameless plug, I am on the radio now with Lockwood on Tuesdays, sometime between 5 and 6 generally. And, of course, I'm here with you guys.
Well, you know, they're stealing our talent left and right. Now, Diane is on the radio show, too, now.
Yeah, you're on with Tom and Sadie.
Yeah, News and Views with Tom and Sadie.
I've been looking for somebody to offer Rick a big paying job, and we might lose him, too.
Oh, my
gosh.
Heaven forbid, right.
And additionally, is that it's a page in the County Compass? And
yeah.
And we're going to encourage you to come out and visit us for our business meeting and also for our public meetings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now that the intros are done, I was getting to Diane, who has a blog also, For Love of God and Country, a wealth of writing there because she is a writer.
I'm all over the place. Yeah.
She's
with topics. Yeah.
How many degrees do you have now? I forgot. It's you forgot too.
About four or five.
Yeah. She's well educated, and she's very active in conservative politics, and her blog is well worth visiting. And she's also very active on Facebook and Twitter too.
You know, that four or five degrees kind of reminds me of a college professor I had at University of Virginia. He had a law degree, he had all kinds of degrees, and a lot of us got to wondering, why is this guy, he's a professor, and he's still taking courses, he's getting degrees left and right, constantly getting degrees. Turned to find out he had a big inheritance, that as long as he stayed a college student, he continued the inheritance.
What amazes me about Diane is she's got all those degrees, has spent so much time in schools, and she's conservative.
Yes, she is.
I don't know what insulated her against.
Because I'm science, guys. I'm science.
Oh, okay.
16 years in science.
She also studied under Judge Napolitano.
You don't know if that's a good thing lately, because he's kind of gone off the deep end.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Squirrely.
He's gone a little bye-bye.
Yeah. It happens. Glenn Beck did that.
Yeah.
Now he's turned back and come back.
Yeah. But I can't say anything bad about Judge Napolitano. He's just a great guy.
Yeah. Maybe somebody's influencing him. I don't know. Let's talk about, and Diane ought to be able to help us with this, and that's the role of the courts. Because, you know, you take, look at our, right here in North Carolina, the marriage amendment. We overwhelmingly passed that, and a federal judge overturned it. Overturned the will of the people. So what good did it do us to go to the polls and cast a vote if an elected judge can overturn it? No, an appointed judge.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the Constitution, doesn't that guarantee each state a Republican form of government?
It does.
And that kind of means that we appoint our elected officials, and then they, you know, they pass laws for us or represent us. And so in this case, the government didn't like what the Republican form of government gave our state or California or other states. So through a judge, they undid the Republican form of government and inserted their own will instead.
Well, you know, the selection of judges, the verification, the process that they go through has become so partisan and politicized.
Yeah.
That look what happened when Judge Kavanaugh was up there. It was like cats and dogs fighting.
Yeah. Yeah. What they really should have done was, what the court should have done is to say, you know, you're suing by saying that marriage is a fundamental right and it's guaranteed under, I don't know, this penumbra called privacy, which is really kind of another court made up bit of jurisprudence. But what they should have said is, you know, marriage really has always been regulated by the states for social good. And, well, you know, our society has changed over the years tremendously over the past 230 years. Our society has changed. And do we want to redefine marriage? And, well, that's something, if you want to make it a fundamental right, you can do that, but let's do it the right way, which is to go through the amendment process. And that's what the judge said, should have said, is like, if you really feel strongly about this, then the court recommends that you pass an amendment to the Constitution.
Doesn't the Constitution also provide a remedy for judges who don't, serve in good...
During good behavior?
During good behavior,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that's impeachment.
But you're supposed to have impeachment.
It never works.
Why, Diane?
Because no one ever wants to impeach, right? We impeached Andrew Johnson, although he wasn't removed because of one vote. And then you have Bill Clinton. He was impeached, but he wasn't removed from office. But, I mean, these are some, they've done some pretty bad things. Although Andrew Johnson, that was a political move. And there was one Supreme Court justice, I forgot the guy's name, but he was brought up on impeachment charges by Thomas Jefferson because he was a bad judge. He was enforcing with vigor the Sedition Act. Sedition Act on its face was unconstitutional. And as a judge, you should have known that. But this guy went above and beyond to target Federalists, anti-Federalists, and to put them in jail. And so when Thomas Jefferson took the presidency, he targeted him for impeachment. But they didn't remove him. So we have these remedies, but they'll never use them because if you use them on this party today, someone from the other party is going to use it on you tomorrow.
Right.
And they just don't want to open that can of worms.
You know, you mentioned the impeachment. How about Alcee Lamar Hastings from Florida? He's the representative. He's been a representative for 20 years. Prior to that, he was impeached from the court.
Wow.
Successfully? Yes.
That's one thing I wanted to bring out. Is if we talk about Supreme Court judges, I'm not talking about Supreme Court judges. What about this doggone judge that did overrode our vote for marriage?
District court.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was just one example. Again, we voted for a voter ID law, and that was overturned by a judge.
But at least with the lower courts, how we still have the whole process, right? Supreme Court, we worry about the Supreme Court justices because that's it. There's no other tribunal. And there is no checks and balances on the Supreme Court. Other branches there are.
And thank goodness it's turning more conservative under Trump. Yeah.
I have a question for you because I know you studied the Constitution. California has put on their ballot that you cannot be a presidential candidate. They passed the law. You cannot be a presidential candidate unless you submit 5 years of your tax returns. Can they do that?
They can try. They can try, but presidential candidates, this is constitutional stuff. This is in the Constitution. So what the courts will have to determine is if California's law to require the 5 years of tax return, if that's a substantial burden on a constitutional provision.
I think California ought to pass a law that you can't vote unless you can show 5 years worth of voter IDs.
I want to go back to the marriage amendment and the other things that we've seen overturned by single judges in our state. Mm-hmm. Our real advocate, if you looked at our legislature needing an advocate for us, it would have been our attorney general, as long as our attorney general wants to get up and fight. But we have had attorney generals that have decided they don't want to fight on behalf of the legislature.
No, they'll fight. They'll fight only if it's for a policy or a law that they approve of.
That they agree with.
Right.
Their job is to fight on our behalf, to fight based on what they approve
of. Yeah, but we know the reality. So our last two attorney generals have been Democrat. Cooper. We had Cooper, and then we have Josh Stein, right? And neither one of them are willing to go to bat for any laws passed by a Republican.
They haven't stood up for the state at all. Mm-mm. Well, getting back to the Supreme Court, Hal mentioned, and you, Diane, Supreme Court only hears around 80 cases a year.
It used to be almost twice as much.
All right. Well, that makes the appointment of constitutional judges to lower courts extremely important. The appointments have been abysmal for decades. Also, nearly one-third of Supreme Court decisions are decided by a 5-4 vote. Oh,
absolutely. It doesn't give you much confidence in that they really have interpreted correctly, right?
Right. And let's also clarify that they don't make laws or changes to the laws. They offer opinions.
Right.
And that's it.
Well, let's talk about the Obamacare decision. They didn't just offer an opinion. They changed law. They remade law there.
Yeah. Not legally. Not legally, they didn't.
They did it wrong.
Not constitutionally.
That was judicial activism,
Right.
Hasn't President Trump appointed, I can't remember the exact figure, somebody else can, something like 160 people to some of these lower courts now? And I think that's a great thing to be going on.
Yes. I call that a good start.
Yeah, it's a good start, right.
Yeah.
It's a
good
start. Hopefully we'll get to a point somewhere. Well, I think we're getting there now because I can't quote the numbers, but there's been hundreds of new judicial appointments in this administration.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Hundreds. So maybe the scales will get leveled out there a little bit. I don't know. All right, we need to take a break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we've been discussing judicial appointments and Supreme Court and how some appointed judges have overturned the voters' will in right here in North Carolina in some cases, and how important it is that these judicial appointments are looked at carefully, because if you don't, you end up with what we've got, and that hasn't been good over the past few decades. Anybody got another hot topic you want to talk about?
I want to mention that the House Investigative Committee, or whatever committee it is, headed up by Jerry Nadler, is subpoenaing information on Judge Kavanaugh.
Yes. They won't let that die, will they?
Wait, didn't they just dismiss all the charges against him, all the ethics charges against him?
Well, they proved that they weren't true.
Yeah, I thought a court dismissed it all. Dismissed all the charges.
I'm not sure, but I do know what Mary's saying is that they are opening up new investigations.
Because they want him out of there. They understand that that a conservative Supreme Court, which it really isn't, because Judge Roberts has not turned out to be a conservative. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to give up their liberal Supreme Court.
So what do they want? Impeachment? They want him impeached?
Yeah.
Oh, great. So history shows that works, right?
Hey, Rick, if you want another subject entirely, one that's come to mind to me is our education committee. You know, we have an education committee. Glenn Fink and his wife Kim have been very active in that education committee for some time, and they're attending the Board of Education meetings in the evenings. And Glenn requested permission to look at some of the curriculum, go online and be able to look at the curriculums that are online. And he was granted that, and he's done it for some time now. But he's still really concerned about some of the same things we've been concerned about for several years now, the Common Core, the math, some of the things in the, what is it, advanced students, some of the English and, history lessons
history
that they're getting.
Placement.
Yeah, they're way off base from what the real facts actually are. And then we had a Republican that was elected to be the superintendent of public instruction. I think his name is Mark Johnson, isn't that right?
Yes.
And he hasn't seemed to be a real strong pusher to change those things. You know, I'd hoped that he would, but it doesn't seem that he is doing that. And I think we, sometime in the near future, we need to really crank up more of an effort to get back involved in that, maybe at the state legislature. One time I remember Michael Speciale and Larry Pittman, some of the others up there. Now they're reinforced by Keith Kidwell, which is a big help. But they've been talking, well, if the public instruction doesn't change some of these things, then the legislature is going to have to get back involved in it. So I think that's a signal for us that we need to get back involved in it, too.
Oh, definitely. But more important than that, the parents need to become involved.
Thanks, Rick.
That's one of the biggest problems. That's why we're where we're at in the education system, is the apathy of the parents and the fact that they have relegated the job of raising their kids to teachers that they don't know anything about, because they're not just teaching like in the old days, yeah, reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Right.
Now they're teaching social programs, social justice issues. They're teaching sex education and things that used to be the parents' responsibility.
Well, they still are the parents' responsibility.
Trying to raise other people's kids.
Right, right.
But all parents aren't apathetic.
I didn't say all.
The bright shining light to my mind is the way homeschooling has grown.
Well, I was going to say, usually the ones that aren't apathetic and are very involved with their children's education are homeschooling.
Mm-hmm. Because of the public school.
Right.
Well, the problems
exactly.
We're talking about the public school.
And we've talked about it many times before on the show. You know, we have members that attend the Board of Education meetings.
Yes.
And I've attended a few. I know you've attended some in Rainer.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, you see the parents, the room fills up with parents.
Yeah, initially.
Initially. at the beginning of the meeting when they start handing out all the awards.
Mm-hmm.
And these are, some of the awards are just for the sake of giving an award, you know, a lot of it, feel good stuff. And I know somebody's going to get mad at me for saying that, but
no, it's true.
It's the truth. And they'll go through the first half of the meeting like that, giving out the awards and the attaboys and not all those to the students, but to some of the administration too. And, then they'll break when they're through giving out all the awards and the room empties, all the parents take
their
kids.
Well, they're invited to. The suggestion is made, well, your student has to be in school tomorrow and you have to be at work. So we'll forgive you if you decide to leave during the break.
Right. So then they all pack up and leave. And the next business part of the meeting, where the parents really ought to be involved and understand what they're doing at that level and what they're talking about and what their plans are, they're not there to participate.
Rick, I think it's by design. That's how the school board wants it to be. Even the business of giving accolades, many of which you feel are rather superfluous, and I agree with you. How can you be suspicious of and edgy about someone who has just given your child an award?
Right. And then
it's part of the plot.
For more than 20 years, because you had one superintendent of schools, not superintendent, but chairman of the school board for mm-hmm. more than 20 years. And nobody was allowed to speak independently. They all had to speak as one voice.
Yep.
One voice.
His voice.
Yeah.
Well, that policy has pretty well been carried on by his replacement.
Right. And one thing that probably most of the public out there isn't aware of, the parents and all, is that each one of them had to sign a non-disclosure agreement
mm-hmm.
when they got on the school board. In other words, they can't talk about what goes on there. And we've questioned them before on things that they would not talk about because there's only one voice.
Yeah, Kim Fink informed us that there's also a policy pamphlet or something like that that the new school board members are supposed to read this policy pamphlet and abide by it. So they're being controlled. There's no question about it.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because it was a good topic to bring to light because school's getting ready to start back.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kids are going to be going to school and they're going to be learning all kinds of new stuff, but not necessarily what you want them to be learning.
What would happen, and I wonder if it has happened, if a member of the school board refused to sign the non-disclosure agreement?
Well, we had candidates in the past that part of their platform was if they were elected, they would not sign a non-disclosure agreement. I don't think anything could happen. I mean, I don't think there's a legal requirement for that to happen. I think it's just a local policy.
Because it seems like the open meeting laws and the sunshine laws would totally go against that.
Well, they violate those too, so.
There are two more things that I'd like to mention before we leave the subject, and one of them is the way school board members are elected. But first they have to run in their district.
All right.
And if they...
now you're talking about Craven County.
In Craven County, mm-hmm. right. If they win in their district, then they still have to run countywide. And now I think that's a disadvantage because instead of representing their district, they're so-called, now they represent the whole county, and that's a you know, feel-good thing. But on the other hand, a lot of the a teacher might be very popular in their district, and a lot of people in a district, and the parents will know the person and think they'd make a good school board member and go ahead and vote for them. But when they go countywide, they're out there, the other areas, other districts in the county don't know anything about them. Wow. So they have a poor chance of winning. And that way, the existing school board members and teachers and administrators can kind of control who gets on that board. And I think that's the whole reason for having it set up that way. And I think that ought to be changed. And it could be changed at the state legislature. Right. If it were requested to be changed, the state legislature would change it.
That's not statewide. That's not the way it is in other counties.
No, it's not. Craven's kind of unique. You're right about that. But another thing I wanted to mention is the documents on the walls. You're supposed to be able to put the 10 amendments on the wall by law. the Constitution, Magna Carta, a whole bunch of documents are listed in a law, an existing law that says those documents can be and should be on the walls, and in most
cases
they're
not. That's House Bill 588. Yeah. And that's the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Amendments.
Did I say commandments? Or
no, you said amendments.
I'm sorry. Slip of the
both
tongue.
Should be on the walls.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, so much for that subject. Let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. And again, I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and we have our usual nefarious group of people here that like to stir the pot. And,
unusual.
Unusual. Well, I've kind of gotten accustomed to them, so I'm used to them. Let's move on to another topic. Let's talk a little bit about, cycle of dependence. Since the beginning of the war on poverty in the 1960s, the federal welfare system has grown dramatically, yet the poverty rate has remained nearly unchanged. Welfare tries to treat the symptoms of poverty, but fails to address the root causes. Instead, today's welfare system traps people in a cycle of growing dependence. Do you agree with that, Diane?
Absolutely. And I think it's intentional. I think that's one of those things, if government wants control over people, this is one of those key things, you know.
It's also...
trap them in dependency.
Also being used as bait, isn't it? You bait them to come across the border because they're going to get welfare,
like magnets,
food
yeah,
stamps.
Magnets.
They're going to get free education for their kids.
Yeah. Yeah, California, they, I don't know who, is it Governor Gavin Newsom, right?
Yes.
Newsom. Mm-hmm. And he's saying to illegals, come, no, or I don't know, or maybe it's the, I don't know, homeless, I don't know. Come to California, come to California. We'll pay for your medical care. We'll give you this, we'll give you that. So he's inviting everybody come to the state for all the free things that the state will offer them. And what happens? They all come. Right? All these homeless people, they litter the streets, and there's defecation, and there's disease.
Tent cities.
It's disgusting. But so the lesson is, are they going there because of some shining, you know, economy? Are they going there to for a job? Are they going there to turn their life around? No, they're going for freebies, for handouts.
Yeah.
And that's what this whole thing is. The government's announcing all these handouts. So we're... Are people running away from it and say, nah, don't give me any handouts. I want to make it on my own. I'm going to tough it and make it on my own. A lot of them just decide it's too tough.
And it's a catch-22.
Yeah, yeah.
It creates poverty,
yeah,
actually, because what does welfare do? It gives disincentives to marriage.
Oh, yeah.
So you've
yeah.
got all these single-parent families.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Most
yeah.
of them are single mothers trying to raise their kids. There's no father in the home. And, you know, that creates a level of poverty. Well, it's like slavery. They're being held there
yeah.
at a certain level,
yeah.
Whatever their welfare income is, and they can't escape from
but
it.
But they're making, but they're, this is free will. This is, they're making choices. They're making choices every day. You know, will I accept this level of poverty, this level of income or subsistence?
Yeah.
Is this okay for me? And many are saying, well, let me wait. Well, I'd have to go to school. I'd have to learn a trade. I have to get up every day to go to work, blah, blah, blah. And they say it's easier just to live at this level. And if as long as I keep voting Democrat, they'll always make it a little bit easier for me to be in poverty. They'll give me a little bit more just to make it more comfortable in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And I can live with that. And that's what they're saying. So they decide to have babies without a father. They decide to start a family or whatever to get pregnant before they finish high school.
That's what I was saying.
Right? This dependency.
There's an incentive
yeah,
not to.
Right. They don't have to sign up for that lifestyle. They don't
no,
have to sign up for this.
To. It's a
but
personal
it's the choice.
Choice.
But they're weighing it as opposed to, well, would I rather go to school and do good in school and go to school every day and study and pull all-nighters? Nah, it's easier just to go on welfare.
You know, an interesting statistic on that, though, right now that's encouraging is that there are more jobs available than there are people looking for jobs.
Yes.
Which is something that's the first time in years, and it's something Trump has caused.
Yeah,
President
people
Trump.
On food stamps are coming off, too, or
yeah.
whatever they call those
Some
cards these
days.
Yeah,
yeah,
but they're really pushing those food stamps.
At least it is not growing nationally.
Right.
Now, I know California is not a good place,
yeah,
and neither is Seattle,
yeah,
but...
Yeah.
Anyway, there are a lot of people who are beginning to take advantage of that, and it's turning around for some, which is a very good thing.
Yeah.
Something that really needs to be changed, though, is the rules for contracting with the government to do work, because they give preference to get a contract if you're a single, unmarried, or certain race, various things like that, I don't know. It just is not a way to do it. It's not the fair way to do it.
Well, there's some affirmative action going on to make up for, you know, some years that they've been left behind and all that kind of stuff.
You don't really believe that, do you, Diane?
I believe that's what they believe. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what they believe. Yeah. But, yeah.
There was a study, and it was a few years ago. I don't remember exactly when, that someone did to find out what, if there was a way that a young person could avoid poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And they came up with three or four things. The most important things were finish high school, get married before you have children,
mm-hmm.
and get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do those three things...
You better get a job before you get married.
Okay. But if you do those three things, your chances of avoiding poverty or something like 90%.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll give you some more stats here. 87% of Democrats and 94% of Republicans agree that able-bodied adults that receive cash, food, housing, and medical assistance should be required to work or prepare for work as a condition of receiving those government benefits.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Now, they agree. So why don't they enforce
yeah.
it?
Yeah, why doesn't
why don't
it
they,
happen?
Yeah. yeah.
Well, they did it in Maine. Remember that? And they got their welfare
recipients, or food stamp recipients, went from something like 10,000 to 1,200.
Yeah.
Well, they should also go on birth control if they're going
to
accept.
I'd like to argue a little bit about one of the things that Mary said, including education. I've known people who dropped out of school, several of them who dropped out of school. In this county, the county schools that I went to, at age 16, you could drop out of school if you wanted to. So some of the boys left school at 16. One of them became a multimillionaire. Two of them became multimillionaires because they went into business right away when they left school. Mm-hmm. And our community grew so big. 95 came through and things like that. Different things happened. And there are such things as educated fools. There are people who have yes. a lot of education. So an education is not necessarily a drawback. I mean, I think I agree with you, Mary, more people should get educated. But I don't think it's an absolute requirement for success in life.
Well, those two guys were what most people would refer to as workaholics. They were not lazy one bit.
Yeah, and one of them was the son of a bootlegger.
he had race cars. Sounds like a country song.
Yeah. But he opened up service stations out on 95 when 95 came through, and man, did he tell you he got rich on it.
Yeah. Well, here's another one. Adjusting for inflation, the nation spends 12 times more on means-tested welfare spending than it did when the war on poverty began. 12 times more.
So why don't we just admit that we lost and go home?
Well, why don't we just take all that money that's being spent and divide it up equally and give it to everybody?
Yeah.
Well, we could do what Britain did. Didn't they put a cap on how long you've been on welfare? I think it was something like 5 years. Like, get your stuff together. I was going to say a bad word. Get your stuff together, and in 5 years, right? You're cut off no matter what. So 5 years, you have, 5 years to learn a trade or get an education, but... get it together, and that's 5 years is good enough for the time for people to pay your way.
Well, there's some of them make a career out of it, and it's a generational thing too. Yeah. Here's another one: children in single parent homes are 5 times as likely to be poor compared to their peers in married parent homes.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So
the family unit is a determinant in a lot of things: psychological problems, poverty. Esteem issues. I mean, there's a lot of things that
Rick, I want to go back family. to your argument about after 5 years they throw them off the welfare rolls. What are you going to do with the unemployed welfare workers?
What do you mean?
I mean, they have made a career out of remember in government, you never have an objective to solve a problem. Your objective is to keep the problem going, so you keep getting money for that problem. You don't ever want to solve a problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. There's certain rhetoric out there. There are certain explanations. Like, well, there's certain jobs Americans won't do. If you're on welfare, if you're taking someone else's money, there's a job you're going to do. And if you don't like it, that's when you should have been in school figuring out something you want to do. But you don't have someone else pay your way and then turn around and say, well, I wouldn't pick crops. I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't clean toilets. Don't you dare do that. And to show that in Eastern North Carolina that there are a lot of jobs that people could be doing. How many of you have called for plumbers, roofers, painters, lawn maintenance, people doing pavements? Who is coming to do those jobs?
I don't know what your point is.
Hispanics are coming to do all those jobs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at least in Pitt County. And, if they're coming to do the painting, to do all the yard work, to repave our driveway, to take down trees, these are all the things that we had done recently, refinish a floor. If they're coming to do all these jobs, do you think those are jobs that other people, legal citizens could be doing.
All right.
Right?
All right.
So
and you're mentioning driveway pavement. Lawn care was really being taken over. But now
it's roofing, it's everything.
Construction,
it's everything.
Because they make more money in construction.
And they'll tell you, then they'll say, well, we're doing all this stuff because you have certain people that won't work and won't do these types of things.
Yeah.
And that's their choice is to sit around and do nothing and get paid or do hard work.
That's
shouldn't give them that choice.
No. Right.
But you know, I think hurricane recovery has had a big effect on things like that around here. For instance, we used to have our gas fireplace serviced all the time by the people that had installed it. So I asked them to come in and service it. It hadn't been done in some while. And the fellow told me, we don't do that anymore. We only do installs. He said, we just can't afford to do it. We got a lot of people who want them installed and a lot of housing going on, a lot of rebuilding of houses that have been torn down. And we just don't have the personnel to do anything but install anymore.
All right. Well, here's some more facts on what you're saying, Diane. There are around 11 million illegal immigrants in the U.S. Amnesty for illegal immigrants could cost the U.S. trillions of dollars, as the average illegal immigrant household receives around $14,000 more in benefits than it pays in taxes, which is only going to worsen with amnesty.
And here's another fact. If you track these illegals that are on assistance, after 10 years, they are still on assistance.
Yes.
So they're not getting off. They're getting used to it.
Subject to that thing you just mentioned there, Rick, on One American News, they're running a daily. Well, I think it's more often than daily, but they put up how much illegal immigration has cost the American taxpayers. And this year, and remember Trump wanted $5.2, I believe it was, $1 billion to build a wall. So far, I think they have up there about $166 billion, as they're saying that it's cost the American taxpayers to have these illegals in the country.
Yeah.
All right, well, we need to take a little break here, and we'll be right back.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills. Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Y'all ready for this?
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we've had a lot to talk about, and we're going to move on to another topic. I think we need to talk a little bit about religious freedom, or religious liberty, whichever way you want to say it. I happen to think, I agree with this statement, that Americans should be free to earn a living, care for the poor, heal the sick, and serve their communities in accordance with their faith without unnecessary government interference.
Hear, hear.
Now, that's what families used to do. They get up and they go to church on Sundays and they'd worship together. And then in hard times, they would look out for each other. They didn't have to depend on government agencies to take care of every little crisis or problem in the home. You depended on your church family. And it was like that for decades, for centuries, actually. And now look where we're at. The churches hardly do any of that anymore. I'm not saying all churches, because we do still have churches that perform those necessary roles in spite of the government's interdiction into what they can and can't do.
You know, you used to know when a family was down and out and that you could help them in some way, some fashion. You also used to know when a family was scamming the system.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew not to enable them.
Yep.
But the government has no such
mechanism.
Yeah. You know.
I can remember when I was growing up, my grandparents' house was, I could write a book. The house next door had been made into two apartments, and the upstairs apartment was a young couple with a baby. The husband lost his job. Granny and Granddaddy invited him to move in with them. That kind of thing happened on a repetitive basis. There was always somebody living in that house that was either vastly extended family or friends or children of friends. It was, and they weren't the only ones who lived that way. People were. We have social media. They had real social interaction and knew the people in their community, the people in their church, and so on. It worked.
Right. You had square dances and town meetings and town halls and town gatherings, church gatherings, dinners on the ground. There was all kinds of opportunity for people to interact.
And really know what was going on in each other's lives.
Right. And to be able to reach out and to help each other when it was necessary. You know, the Amish were real good at getting together and doing barn buildings and things like that. People used to do that. They used to just really care about their neighbors and look out for their neighbors. If for some reason one of them got hurt and couldn't bring his crops in, you'd see tractors coming from the neighbors coming over and taking care of it, because they knew they might be in that same position next season.
Sure.
So,
and if the government weren't in it, I honestly believe that people would come together again.
Yep. The government got involved. Well, look at your churches. One of the things there is the Johnson Amendment and the damage it has done, because pastors will not approach political topics, and the church definitely needs to be involved in that process.
And Rick, I guess I'm too harsh in my mind, but I really blame pastors, ministers, church leaders for not having the gumption to do the right thing anyway. Well, they are not setting a good example in that regard.
And you know some of them.
Absolutely, and they're wonderful.
Yeah, let's talk about the freedom to believe and act. I think Americans should remain free to believe and act in the public square based on their beliefs without fear of government penalty.
I agree.
And
I don't think we could read the First Amendment to say that you check your religion in at your door before you head out the door, or your religion is just something you do when you go to church in the church building on Sundays.
Well, in many locales now, you're not allowed to call men and women.
Yeah.
You cannot use those words.
Those pronouns.
Right? How can anybody stop you?
I think one of the problems here in North Carolina is that school of, what do they call it, Cthulhu Government, yeah, that's located there at the same campus as the University of North Carolina. And they have courses that newly elected commissioners and county officials, everybody who gets elected has to take this course, excuse me. And Jim Corr, when he was elected commissioner, he told me that one of the things they asked him was his religion going to affect the way that he governs, because it's their philosophy that you're a governor now for all the people. You can't just govern for the people who elected you. You're a governor for all the people. And he said, I don't feel that way about it at all. And, of course, yes, my religion is going to govern what how I contribute to government, because that my religion is me. He said, that's what I am. Well, and I'm not changing just because I got elected. And he just told him pretty much that was it.
That's the way it used to be. Well, let's take a football game, the prayer. Mm-hmm. Nothing required you to participate in the prayer. But why should you be allowed to stop everybody else from participating
right,
in it?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Be quiet, be respectful, and don't right. pray if you don't want to right. pray.
Freedom of religion, not from religion.
Well, you've got a group called Freedom From Religion, and they're the ones responsible
very,
for
very
a lot
small,
of this.
Very, very small, small minority, right?
Yeah, but they're responsible for
yeah,
all these
they make,
changes.
They make a lot of noise.
And talk about tolerance, true tolerance.
Yeah,
all people,
it only goes one way.
Yeah, all people do not have to hold the same beliefs to recognize that people should have the freedom to run their business in accordance with their values. If you own your business, you should be able to serve who you want to serve and turn away anybody that you don't want to. Not as discrimination.
Yeah, without animus, right?
Right.
But for reasons that are explainable, not because you just don't like that person, or you just don't like that person's skin color, you don't like that person's dress, or where that person came from. Not the true animus, but for other reasons that,
right.
you know.
Requiring you to do something yeah. against your faith or your beliefs.
Exactly.
Asking you, and you should have the right to refuse that service. Say yeah. no.
If it offends your conscience as is dictated by your belief set, you should be able to say
right.
decline.
I open up a business, and it's a family business, and I should be able to escort out people that are using profanity
yeah.
loud
mm-hmm.
enough for the kids in there to, you know, ask them to leave. Just say, hey, that's not allowed in here. You need to leave. It's
Well, you are in that case, it's a behavior that they could choose to not behave that way. They
right.
they simply do, and it is objectionable, and it's not something they were born with. It's something that's their choice.
You know, the sad thing about our society now is that, like in the case of Jack Phillips, the Christian baker, mm-hmm. designer, he'll bake you a cake, but if you ask him to do creative design with a message, that's where he will decline to do that if the message that he's asked to create is offensive to his religious beliefs. Okay, so Jack Phillips, people know that he's a great cake designer, but he also has religious standards. So instead of respecting his religious standards, what do people do? They flock to his store on purpose, pass 100 different cake designers along the way on purpose just to put Jack on the spot and have him decline so they can file a lawsuit against him. So while they themselves in their own communities want tolerance,
right,
and they will deny it to someone like Jack Phillips. Jack Phillips, yeah.
And you hear these atheists, agnostics out here
yeah.
That want to make all these rules banning what the Christians are
yeah.
involved in and participate in. Here's some facts on religion. Those attending religious services once a week or more are 25% more likely to give to charitable causes. Now, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Not anything.
Yeah.
Mm.
Marriages in which both husband and wife frequently attend religious services were 2.4 times less likely to end in divorce.
What's wrong with that, right?
Yeah.
That's what our society needs.
Volunteerism is greater among individuals who attend religious services each week. So it seems to me like religious activities foster a benevolent attitude of giving and volunteering and you know, participating in things that are going to help the rest of the general population.
Exactly.
Well, if you look at what is taught in Christianity, it's what one would expect. It's a fit. It goes hand in glove.
Yeah.
Well, you can jump from that into marriage and sexuality. You know, marriage and family are the building blocks of society that protect the most vulnerable in society, and that's our children.
Mm-hmm.
Without a two-parent home, the security is not there that would be if it was a two-parent
home.
That's
half of what it might have been.
Oh, yeah.
And let's face it, children are the next generation, right? And we're in charge as parents. It's our job to raise the next generation to do the right thing. And that's I think it's the most critical, important job that any person has, is to raise their children correctly.
Diane, along with that, it is our job to civilize those kids also. It mm-hmm. is not the school's job exactly. to civilize
oh, no.
those kids.
I stepped away from a really lucrative law job because I had four young kids at home, and I was not home enough for them. And I stepped away so that I could be in the school system. I could make sure they do their homework. I'm there when they get home, make them a snack. I wanted a presence, daily presence with my kids' lives.
Good decision.
Well, this has been a very interesting conversation, number of good topics, but we're going to have to wrap this show up.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
It is useless to resist us.
People's homes are being ruined by these monsters.
It is useless to resist us.
From here, there is no escape.
It is useless to resist us.
I sure would like to get out of here.
Keep your dark glasses on and stay where you are.
Revolution is on.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutrition consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Also, the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake-Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.